DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Well, welcome, welcome. It is one of my favorite shows of the entire year because we are not at the corner of Broadway and Battery. We are down here at the Guardsman Tree Lot, which is in the Festival Pavilion here in Fort Mason, where over the weekend we had record-breaking days selling Christmas trees, holiday trees here, all for charity to donate to Bay Area at-risk youth. It was a record-breaking weekend. And so a tree lot, which is normally filled, like it's an indoor forest with thousands of trees, is down to about like 300-400 trees, and wow, the delivery is going to be tomorrow. So not only am I inviting you down to the tree lot today to come and say hi and get all the holiday cheer you could shake a stick at, but I'm also going to tell you, if you can't make it down here today, you're going to have a huge selection this weekend. I hope you plan on making your holiday tree, your Christmas tree, a Guardsman tree, with all the money going to Bay Area at-risk youth. This is my pet project, my pet charity. I'm thrilled to be back down here, and I cannot thank the station enough for the support. And Gianna, you might as well be a guardsman at this point in time.
I know, huh?
You come to these things every year. This is about year number 4 or 5 in a row for you, I believe.
Yeah, well,
is it every year we've been together?
It's a good cause, and I mean, it's so festive and cute and beautiful in here. So I love the holidays, and you can get your tree, get all your stuff for Christmas, and it goes to a worthy cause. So why not?
Boom.
Right? I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you here. It's great to have the entire station down here today. Thank you very much. Thanks to Matt and Danny for getting this happening. Thanks to Tim for getting us up and plugged in, and everything is good. We even have all of the forklifts operating quieter than we normally do just for the sake of this broadcast. We're very, very professional down
nice
here this year. Let me tell you what's going to be a part of this professional broadcast this year. How about the man who coaches the Golden State Warriors? Sounds good to me. Steve Kerr should be in a good mood after back-to-back wins over a couple of bad NBA teams, but it's all pointing towards tomorrow in Milwaukee, and then a couple of tough games to start the home slate when the Warriors come back starting Monday night. They've got the Timberwolves, and it's going to be the Toronto Raptors. Some very interesting games and teams coming into town, and one more trip through town in Milwaukee waiting for them before they get back to Oracle Arena. The Curry-Durant warpath is just now absolutely happening in front of our eyes, and you can say, well, look, the Hawks, the Cavaliers, they make a lot of teams look good. You're right, they really do. But the efficiency that we have seen from these two guys in just the last couple of games, my friends, Curry and Durant working off of each other in the primes of their careers is as good, is as sexy, is as entertaining, is as fantastic as any basketball you'll be watching in your entire life. These two guys, in their primes, at the height of their power, have totally figured out how to coexist on a basketball court. And what's funny is I think that it has come so full circle for Kevin Durant in just the last 3 games with Steph Curry back, even though they lose in Detroit.
Right.
He is so full circle back to how efficient this can be and how easy this looks that Kevin Durant is actually throwing salt on the Lakers and LeBron James and what the system is down there, what the system is up here. Look, LeBron is a ball-dominant superstar. And basically, Kevin Durant said other ball-dominant superstars, which really kind of are the superstars in the NBA, are going to have trouble playing alongside LeBron James. And then he went on to the toxic media environment that is not created by LeBron himself,
no,
but created through the attention that is thrown at LeBron James by everyone, by media, which absolutely at times is just a fanboy portrayed as a media member. We've seen that. And so Kevin Durant, I know the media, the damn media, sometimes I'm sorry I'm a part of it, but it's the only way they keep letting me in the building. The media is saying that Durant is kind of taking shots at LeBron here. He actually isn't taking shots at LeBron. He is accessing reality, like the reality that I understand, that he understands, that these other NBA superstars understand, the reality of the media world that we now live in. What I do think Duran, though, said, if everyone wants to, like, look deeper, like, look in between the lines, what is Kevin Durant really talking about here? To me, it sounds like he just scratched L.A. right off his own list of options.
I would agree. If he's telling people it's, quote-unquote, toxic when you're on a team with LeBron, why would you want to be there?
Why would you want to be there? If you don't like an undue amount of attention, who brings more of an undue amount of attention as an NBA superstar than LeBron James into your locker room? Conversely, Steph Curry is the polar opposite of that. Steph Curry gets more attention when Aisha opens a restaurant than he does when he does something to draw attention to himself. Like, Steph Curry's level of attention comes with a thoughtful letter written back to a girl who asked why the sneakers weren't available in girl sizes. Like, that's the sort of attention that Steph Curry comes with. It's, at worst, a pleasant little distraction.
Yeah.
LeBron James, at his attention getting or seeking worst, is a four-alarm fire. It is a migraine headache. It is the ninth month of labor. It is it is a chore for everyone involved. It's not just affecting one person in LeBron. It's everyone in that sphere of influence that he casts his shadow around. And his shadow is significant. These Kevin Durant comments, a little less significant than some people are making them out to be, but we will have more on that throughout today's show. Anthony Slater joins me at 3:30. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr is at 4 o'clock. We're going to have a 5 before 5. Rookie wide receiver from the 49ers, Dante Pettis, stops on by today. We're also going to have Mark Medina before it's all said and done down here for our Tree Lot remote today. Last night, getting back just into the game, we saw Curry once again see 30 points like it was no problem at all. He was spectacular. From downtown early is where you like to see your Steph Curry.
Ball thrown in near wing. Durant to Bell. Jarebko holds it high. Curry steps out straight away. Wide open three. That is money. Cold hard cash for Steph Curry.
Cash in the bank for Steph Curry. You look at it, you know, that was a little too close for you. It's not from the distance that you're used to. Well, that's okay. Steph Curry, he backs that thing up.
Warriors could take a lead here. They had only a two-point lead to start the game. Curry from about 30. Curry! My goodness. That was ridiculous.
Nothing better to start a night on the couch like an early first quarter flurry from Steph Curry. And you got one in back-to-back games now. He was fantastic. And look, it seems to be a little bit of the theme of this year that the other team's superstars, the other team's bums, the other team's announcer, like, hits a three against the Warriors at the end of a shot clock. I mean, it's just amazing. The Cavaliers last night couldn't miss early. They couldn't make one late, and that's why the Warriors pulled away late. The one thing that was noticeable, you heard it on the radio broadcast, and you could see it on the TV, is going to Cleveland ain't quite what it used to be. And let's face it, when a talent that big is no longer involved, it changes things. I mean, when Kevin Love isn't there, it changes. Oh, I think it's LeBron James that was sort of the missing ingredient last night. Steph Curry did talk about how rows and rows of empty rows in Cleveland for a Warriors game, not exactly what they're expected, and it led to an odd atmosphere.
Yeah, I said this morning, I didn't really think about how different it might be, consider all the battles we've had in the last 4 years here, but it was a little weird, and just try to keep the energy up, and obviously, like I said, focus on how we were playing, and obviously, they put a good fight in the first half, and you know, made some tough shots, and it took a concerted effort in the last 24 minutes to open up the game, and yeah, just an odd night all the way around.
One of the things that was pretty obvious, too, if you're wondering why Curry was out there a little bit too late when the game seemed to be decided, why is Klay Thompson out there a little bit too late when the game seemed to be decided, is I really think that Steve Kerr wants these guys rolling a little bit more as they go into Milwaukee. They're going to go into Milwaukee without Draymond Green once again. But this is a game that I tell you, they should be up for, and that alone could be enough to give it to them. We'll see. One of the rare, interesting, the Warriors are going to kind of measure themselves a little bit early on in the month of December. Games is on our schedule. December gives us two presents. You kind of get in. We all know what's going to be waiting for us on Christmas Day.
Right.
We get LeBron and the Lakers on Christmas Day. Fantastic. An early stocking stuffer tomorrow. Let's call it a Hanukkah gift.
Okay.
It's officially Hanukkah. This is a Hanukkah gift. Warriors-Bucks tomorrow should be an awful lot of fun. Steve Kerr is going to be up at 4 o'clock today to talk all about it. We're really interested in that. Speaking of talking about it, it's time we start looking at the NFL season here in the Bay Area. Not through the prism of the NFL, but through the prism of the NFL draft. I think we have the top two picks identified. They could go 1-2 either way. Both teams, if the both teams really are the 49ers and Raiders, are going to be walking away with a significant defensive lineman. I think we're looking at D-line going 1-2 if it's Niners, Raiders. Unless, of course, I don't even want to call it the unthinkable, but if Derek Carr were seriously moved, maybe that would change the way I'm looking at the ointment of the NFL draft a little bit. Until the Raiders need that quarterback, I don't think they're going to be looking quarterback. I'd be surprised if they were looking quarterback at 2 anyways, with that not being a very robust QB class. However, one of the things that I could not help but notice is I'm looking at all these NFL mock drafts today. They basically moved 2 very high first-round picks in Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper for what are going to be 2 buried in the 20s first-round picks.
Wow.
Thanks to the fact that the Cowboys got an awful lot better and the Bears got an awful lot better and the Raiders, who thought they were going to get premium value, are going to get back-of-the-first-round value, which, look, you can still find a lot of talent there. If you do it the right way, do they have the right guys to do it? That's a problem for another show. But we're going to take a quick look at Nick Bosa before the end of this day. Quinnen Williams, the D-tackle from Alabama. We're going to be talking about him. The media says Durant took shots at LeBron. Not really, but he might have just scratched Hollywood right off his own list of possible destinations. We'll hear that sound when we come on back. We'll talk about the interview that he did on Bleacher Report. We'll be taking your calls today as well here at the Tree Lot, 888-957-9570. And as is tradition, here's how it goes.
Okay.
First person to walk into the Tree Lot who's listening to me right now and says, Damon, give me a Christmas tree, gets a free Christmas tree.
Free Christmas tree!
The very first person, Ollie Ollie Oxen Free, all hands on deck. First person down wins one. All you got to do is walk right up to us here. We're right in the beginning of the lot.
You can't miss it.
Can't miss us. 95.7 the game, plastered everywhere. Come on by. First person who says, D. Bruce, give me a tree, gets a Christmas tree from the Guardsman here on 95.7 the game.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 the game.
It is great to have you here. We are at the Guardsman Tree Lot at the Festival Pavilion here in Fort Mason, one of my favorite shows of the year. A chance to get the word out on one of my favorite charities here in San Francisco, raising money for at-risk youth throughout the entire Bay Area. We got an army of volunteer guys who are down here and make all this happen. They work their butts off to create this, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful couple of weeks for us down here. We are open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Sunday. I mean, seven days of the week, right up until next Friday. So if you can't make it down here today, make it down here this weekend, make it down here next week, and just know that the trees that you get down here are bigger, bushier, more
beautiful
than the other trees you're going to get at other tree lots. And the money that you spend goes directly to a worthwhile cause. And I mean, every penny, like 98 cents of every dollar given to the Guardsmen goes right to the kids. The two pennies pay for our operational costs. That's
wow.
It. So
it's a great charity.
It really is. Hopefully you can come on down here and be a part of it. We saw the Warriors take apart the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second half last night after, God, you had the Cavaliers like hitting prayer shots at the buzzer, like tip-ins at the buzzer. Not even a tip-in. It was like a tip-in jump shot at the buzzer at the end of the first half. Guys are just raining threes on the Warriors at times, but they just continue to get off the map and survive it. You know, it's so funny. And this is something we're going to talk to Steve Kerr about. We'll ask Anthony Slater about this. I think these close games are absolutely a blessing in disguise. And if Steve Kerr could order a week full of nail biters or a week full of blowouts, he would order a week full of nail biters. Maybe not this early in the year, but you don't get to, you know, queue up your own schedule the way you want it. You got to play the way that it is presented to you. And the Warriors were just presented with a headache of a schedule with this five-game Eastern trip, and then you come home and it's Minnesota, and then it's Toronto, and then you're back out on the road again. So, you know, the Warriors are getting tested in ways that they haven't been tested really in multiple years. They used to have, and in many, almost all instances still do, have the superior players and skill set. There is no team that can step on the court and match the Warriors in talent. There used to be no team in the NBA that could really step on the court and match the Warriors in pace or an embrace of the new sabermetrics we now see applied to the game of basketball, where everyone decided to realize a couple years ago, hey, three's worth more than two. We should probably shoot more of those. Every single thing that the Warriors embraced in the first generation of embracing a play faster, shoot quicker, shoot more threes, almost as many threes as two. Well, the league hasn't caught up to them talent-wise, but from a pace standpoint, not only has the league caught up to the Warriors, but several franchises have now surpassed the Warriors in terms of pacing. They can't quite create the spacing, but it's the pacing that has more of a feel of parity this year in the NBA than I can remember really ever before. And look, maybe we're being okey-doked a little bit just by the nature of all pre-All-Star game NBA basketball. Maybe the Warriors still, even though it looks like to us they're really trying, they still are not. They haven't popped it into fifth gear not once yet, even though it's looked like it at times. They still have another gear to go that the NBA, the rest of the NBA, does not possess.
Can't keep up with.
So when the Warriors really open up this engine, that'll be the goodbye, everybody, part of the season. And maybe that does come in the end of the season. But meanwhile, it feels like the NBA is officially closer to the Warriors now than before, which is the perfect time for Steph Curry to step back on the court and create a little normalcy. It's going to be a while before Draymond Green comes back. Well, it might be Monday, actually. I mean, this might be the last game he misses. He might be back as early as the Minnesota game on Monday. Elena, back at the studio, would you please play the cut that you just played during Gianna's update about Bob Myers, talking about how Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, the worst of it now officially feels like it's behind them? I have an explanation as to why. I want to hear the sound one more time, though.
I really think it's behind the fact. I really do. Because that's what you have to do, right? You have to flush it out. You have to get it all out there. Get all your emotions out after something like that. You don't get over it in 30 seconds. But you do get over it. And I honestly think they have.
Look, you don't get over things in 30 seconds. He's right about that. And maybe you don't get over things with a guy like Draymond Green who might, you know, like, is his nature, take things a little bit too far, including the standoffish approach of getting back together as best friends again. You know, maybe it takes a little time for Draymond to get normal, and then for Durant to get normal, and they got to normal out individually, and then they come together again to form their own Voltron of normal, you know, that sort of thing.
They needed some time, clearly, which was fine.
There is no doubt in my mind that the reason why this is now, like, don't worry about it ever again. This sucker is in the past. Steph Curry is the reason why Kevin Durant is here. He's the reason. I bet he wanted to come play with Draymond Green to an extent and Klay Thompson to an extent and wanted to come play for Bob Myers to an extent. And Joe Lacob seemed like a really good owner who had his act together and could write a check as fast as anybody. There's that reason, too. And Steve Kerr is like the easiest guy in the world to get along with. I bet you that was a reason to come and join the Warriors. You add it all up together. It's very impressive. Steph Curry is the reason why Kevin Durant joined the Warriors. To be the efficient, lethal sniper that you have seen in the last couple of games, there's no doubt in my mind. Hey, Kevin Durant, would you rather score 50 shooting 25 times tonight, or would you rather score the most lethal, almost quiet 37 possible, taking just 14 shots? Would you like to do that? Would you prefer to play that style? I guarantee you that Kevin Durant would prefer to play that style. That style is available to him when Steph Curry is on the court with him. There's no other player in the world that can incorporate Durant into the, hey, man, you do not need to be the alpha dog. Kevin Durant anywhere else needs to kind of be the alpha dog to make that team go. The beauty of him joining the Warriors and what has frustrated so many people is he doesn't need to be this team's alpha dog to make this team go. He can get in the sidecar and let Curry drive the motorcycle for a night. And, oh, by the way, in the sidecar, he might even be better in the sidecar than he is driving the damn bike to begin with. And since Curry is so smooth driving this bike, it's so easy for him. He's Steve McQueen in The Great Escape. Like, he can jump over 10-foot walls of barbed wire. Kevin Durant is now looking at chaos, looking at LeBron's toxicity. I think he's looking at, you know, why am I here? What am I doing with the Warriors and all this stuff? And Curry comes back, and now it all makes sense. If Draymond Green is a necessary evil, then fine, so be it. You let that necessary evil be next to you, dress next to you, wear the same jersey as you, because you get to play with Steph Curry, and nothing else after that really matters.
Or would be better. I mean, and Curry's like the glue on and off the court as well. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
It's ridiculous. The two of them can come out together and score 125 points on 66 shots in their last two games. That's what the two of them combined. In their last two games, the two of them combined to shoot 66 times. They've scored 125 points on 66 shots. That is, it's basketball efficiency pornography. There's no other way to say it.
It's that good.
Well, I mean, there might be another way to say it, but I'm not even going to bother saying it, because I think that saying it that way conveys exactly what we're looking at here. Like, this should be taboo. This should definitely not be something kids can go online and see. Oh, my God.
Until they're ready for it, clearly.
The way that these two guys play together is just remarkable in a way that is there anything else that can kind of even duplicate it in the NBA? I don't know. Maybe the closest thing you got to duplicating this would be like, Klay Thompson. You know, and Klay Thompson has a good week where he's shooting it hot and everything's, the normal percentages are there for him. It's comical. Comical how good this team looks at times. It's also very, like, you should appreciate how good they look at times, because it is still fragile. And it's amazing how the Warriors' depth evaporates quickly with just one or two guys out of the mix. Any team in the NBA loses one or two starters, things change quickly. Now you get Alonzo McKinney, he's back in the mix. Damian Jones, you know, not, that's too bad. Jordan Bell, this is your chance. Boogie Cousins, we'll see you soon. Kevin Durant, you got to grab an extra rebound tonight, that's fine. Oh, by the way, Kevon Looney. Who buys more second chances for the Golden State Warriors than Kevon Looney? This guy is an offensive rebound every single time he checks into a game. He's like an instant offensive rebound. And what's funny is he doesn't jump. He doesn't. He just puts both hands straight up and the ball comes right to both hands every single time. It's amazing. It's like Jarebko is a little bit of a magnet too. Anthony Slater, always a magnet for an interesting column whenever the Warriors are playing. His five things about the previous game, always mandatory reading. He had a really good oral history about the 24-game run that ended in Milwaukee to open up the year that wasn't a title, but is still, I think, the most enjoyable moment during the whole damn stretch of the Steve Kerr era. I look back more fondly at 24-0 to start a year than I think any NBA finals, just in terms of what I stand out as. I'll probably never forget that. Anthony Slater of The Athletic, good enough to join us down here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, how are you, man?
I'm good. You know, I was actually having that conversation on a podcast today with Ethan Strauss. And we were kind of agreeing that, I mean, I know they didn't win the title that year, but a lot of teams have won the title in NBA history. No teams have started a season 24-0 besides those Warriors, and no teams have ever won 73 games. That might be more memorable to two of these guys decades from now than the three titles.
I think so, too, and I think it just adds another layer to the intrigue in Milwaukee. You know, let's be honest. If it weren't for these damn NBA Finals and Larry O'Brien's trophies getting in the way of the debate, you could almost say Milwaukee's been a bigger thorn in the side of the Warriors than the Cleveland Cavaliers have during the Steve Kerr era, you know, NBA Finals notwithstanding.
Yeah, the Finals that year will kind of always give LeBron the upper hand in that. But, you know, if we're talking regular season battles, like Milwaukee, they got that length. They got a good environment. It's a little bit like Boston, too. Boston always is kind of giving them some trouble. But and this is by far the best Milwaukee team we've seen. Obviously, they got Budenholzer that's really opened up the offense. He's got Brook Lopez shoot threes, Ersan Ilyasova. Giannis is as good as he's ever been. I put him as the MVP favorite right now if I was doing that. And I think they have the best net rating in basketball right now. And obviously, everyone remembers what they did in Oracle a couple weeks ago. Came in and blew out the Warriors, and they had Steph Curry that night.
Well, and I do like about the Warriors. They respond to defeat about as good as any NBA team I've ever seen. We all know how long it took for them to actually lose back-to-back games during the Steve Kerr era. And now we've got this a team that just, I think, is going to be more motivated to go play in Milwaukee than had they not already lost. Like, they get angry when they lose, and I like that.
Yeah, also, I just think it's a good chance for them to kind of build on some momentum. They know how rough the last few weeks are. I think they're 6-8 in their last 14 games, and they got two good schedule kind of cupcakes the last couple games at Atlanta, at Cleveland, two worst teams in the Eastern Conference, and they get Curry back, and they're starting to gain a rhythm, and now I think they like that they're going to get this test. I know they won't have Draymond back till early in the road trip, but I think they're pumped about these next three games where they obviously get this Milwaukee team in a new arena in Milwaukee tomorrow night. It's going to be a really good atmosphere, very late night tip, 8:30 local time, and then they go home and face a Wolves team that's been a lot better since the Jimmy Butler trade, and then the Raptors. They get a chance to kind of a little bit of revenge against the Raptors on Wednesday in Oracle, and that should be with Draymond Green back. So they're looking to get some momentum.
Anthony Slater of The Athletic here on 95.7 The Game. Curry last night, 9 of 14 from downtown, and didn't take him very long to knock off the rust. He was great early on in Atlanta as well. I know Detroit wasn't the game anyone wanted, but sometimes that's what you need to go through as you're getting back with, you know, this league right now, it feels like there's more parity than maybe there really is because, you know, maybe the Warriors haven't popped it into that fifth gear yet. They haven't been able to with all the injuries. But I really think that even though no team can match the Warriors in terms of skill, a lot of teams even outplay the Warriors in terms of pace. And that might be the real difference in what feels like a more competitive season early on than what we've had in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors were 10-1 before that weird Bucks game where Steph gets injured, and then obviously the Draymond KD stuff happens that just kind of blasts their season a little bit. I actually think they're in a lot better position than they were last year because of what's going on around. That Houston is no longer near the threat they were, at least. I mean, maybe they'll get back to it, but I think a fringe playoff team at this point right now. And then if you look at all the strength or the teams that are getting stronger, it's all in the East. I think maybe the four best non-Warriors teams right now, you could argue, are in the East. I think the Thunder are getting some momentum. That's kind of a team to watch. But the Warriors are getting healthy now. You know, we mentioned Draymond coming back. And when Steph has been in the lineup this year, they've still been their historical best. And so you just got to kind of always factor in that Steph's going to be in the lineup. And also the Cousins' return looms. And that's just another factor that should work in the Warriors' favor.
Anthony, you've been following Durant's career since his days in Oklahoma City, and I think we've gotten two distinctly different flavors of Kevin Durant on this road trip. You had him as the, you know, the hero who needs to win the cape, volume shooter, putting up 40 pieces, 50 pieces, and we've also seen him not starting to defer to Curry, but just letting the game come to him, and he picks and chooses his moments so carefully, and he is lethally efficient in those moments that he's playing. And which flavor of basketball do you think Kevin Durant prefers playing? I'm the hero, or I'm the sniper?
You didn't even mention media critic Kevin Durant. We got plenty of.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
If he had to pick one night, he'd prefer like a Toronto-type night where that's fun to score 51. It's fun to out-duel Kawhi Leonard. It's very fun in front of that Toronto crowd, and Drake to hit the fadeaway three in the corner. That is a more fulfilling one-night experience for Kevin Durant, but he also knows how to win and what's needed to win. And that means playing alongside a Steph Curry, and that's being able to pick and choose your efficiency. That's being able to either you have it one night and you're the guy that takes a bunch of shots, or what he did in Atlanta, which I thought was perfect team basketball Kevin Durant, which was Steph Curry coming back from an injury, was okay in Detroit, had it going early in Atlanta, and Kevin takes a step back, only takes 13 shots in that game, but still scores 28 points. I mean, I think he enjoys that he can do both of those. Again, I think on a one-night experience, he'd rather just get a bunch of numbers, but he knows how much more important it is for him to have the ability to do the efficiency thing.
I mean, a loud 51, a quiet 28, if you can do either, you're a special player for sure. You know, I really think what brought him to Golden State is the best chance to keep him in Golden State, and that's just the premise of running, you know, if everyone stays healthy, 82 times a year next to Steph Curry. Who gives him a better chance to be the player he wants to be, that efficient, lethal type of killer, than playing right next to this guy? I mean, I think that Curry is the best shot this team has of keeping Kevin Durant right in town.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he kind of saw it in his comments a little bit the other day, but like he's very much aware of like how being on with other teammates affects the way you can play your game. I mean, the way he was talking about how LeBron, how it can affect, you know, ball dominant stars if they play LeBron, or if you're a role player, how you kind of have to fit in. And I'm not sure. I think everyone kind of knows at this point Kevin's not 100% sold on staying in Oakland. But if he looks around and you know, he looks at New York and he looks at, yeah, he could be the star, but, you know, what kind of teammates he would have there. And he'd almost be in like the LeBron situation of having to try to carry not only the team, but the media market in a sense. And we'll see if that, like the Warriors definitely have a good argument. Now, if Kevin Durant decides that's the case he wants, or, you know, the experience he wants to remain with, then he'll stay. But it's definitely a good thing that they're bringing to the bargain.
Anthony Slater of The Athletic, what did you think about the toxic comments that he brought up to the media? It feels like there's no superstar on superstar crime, and I'm not saying that he committed any against LeBron James, but it wasn't a bouquet of compliments handed towards the concept of playing with LeBron James, and is that a window into his own decision-making and math on this?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he regrets kind of that it became such it was targeted at LeBron. Even within the quote, he kind of was trying to say it wasn't LeBron's fault that the media is like this. The reality is this is just Kevin Durant giving, you know, his 171st media take of the last 6 years. I mean, he was doing this back in Oklahoma City. He has as many takes on us as we have on him. And it's interesting, and sometimes he does it off the record. Sometimes he lets it go on the record. And I think he actually said this a few weeks ago before the Durant Draymond dust stuff and everything that kind of swirled around that. So I do think a small part of him regrets that he kind of threw himself right back in the news, right back to, you know, the criticism cycle that he was not happy to be in during the Draymond thing. But it is what it is. If you're going to, with a recorder in your face, give very steaming media takes, you're going to have to be able to take the brunt of it. And sometimes that means LeBron James, a guy I know you're very friendly with and respect, probably wasn't that happy with some of the comments.
Yeah, probably not. Alphonso McKinney was the guy who came out of nowhere and you didn't even realize you needed him until you had him. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, they need him. He's an important piece. Then he disappears for 9 games right in the middle of the most controversial moment of the last 4 years. And it felt like his absence was an afterthought. Him being back on the court, it was like the first time I thought of him in a couple of weeks last night. Good to see him back and good to see him sort of pick up as to where he started, maybe not necessarily left off, because it felt like the NBA had made a little adjustment to him. He was good on court last night.
Yeah, it's just those little extra possessions throughout the game where I remember there was a rebound coming down, and Tristan Thompson had it last night, and McKinney just kind of came from the back, snuck baseline, and tapped it away from his hands and stole the ball, and, you know, smartly just throws it back out to Steph, and they run some offense, or, you know, he had another rebound put back, or he's hustling for a loose ball. It's like, you know, those 3, 4, or 5 possessions per game that they just weren't getting without him. He's basically replacing Damian Lee, a two-way guy in the rotation. And Damian Lee, you know, he had a nice little moment. They needed some shooting, especially with Steph out. You know, he hit some shots, but he just doesn't provide like the glue stuff that made McKinney such a, you know, fan favorite early in the season, impact player in his brief minutes. I mean, we were talking about this guy as a legit seventh, eighth type man in their rotation. Probably at times been more impactful than Andre Iguodala this year, which is pretty crazy. So it was very helpful to have him back. And the way you framed it's right. You kind of forgot because of all the things going on around the Warriors and the fact that they were missing guys a lot more important than Alphonso McKinney and still are with Draymond Green out. But he's a help. Any rotation piece helps him.
No doubt. Hey, Anthony, thank you. As always, great stuff. Love the oral history and all the players who weighed in on the memories of the 24-0 beginning a couple years ago. Good stuff from you as always, man. Keep it up.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Anthony Slater of The Athletic, great stuff. We are 15 minutes away from saying hello to Steve Kerr. When we come on back, let's dive into the NFL draft for about 10 minutes. Up to Steve. We're going to say hello to Steve Kerr at 4 o'clock. He's going to be joining us live. And you know what? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 people standing in front of me. Let's find out who got here first for the tree. I'm going to tell you right now, the woman in yellow.
Yeah.
I saw her first. That doesn't mean she was here first, but Gianna, you are my second on this.
I agree.
Fellas, it looks like the ladies might have beat you. We'll figure it all out next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show, live from the Christmas Tree Lot on 95.7 The Game.
Really good to have you here. Always great to say hello to Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach. Will be stopping on by on the telephone. He's not coming down to the tree lot. But we did just have several people show up to the tree lot for our, hey, first person here gets a tree. We had people from out of state.
That might be hard taking a tree home, especially if they flew in.
Yeah, they're not getting a tree to take back to Minnesota. There's plenty of Minnesota trees for them.
Plenty.
But maybe they're going to be here for the Timberwolves game. I don't know. The Minnesotans are here. It's good to have them.
They were very nice.
The audience is far and wide. We cast a big net, Gianna.
Oh, yeah, we do, Damon.
So Steve Kerr is coming up at 4 o'clock. Thanks to everyone who's already come down here. We have already seen someone claim a tree. We'll do it again in the 5 o'clock hour. How about that?
We'll give away
another tree. We are at the Guardsman Tree Lot here at Fort Mason. It's wonderful. Bring the kids. Come on down this weekend. We got bouncy houses for the kids. We've got an indoor forest for you to find a tree in. And 1,400 brand new trees are going to be delivered tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
So if you can't make it down here tonight, if you cannot make it down here tonight, yeah, he's all set. Give it to him.
Congratulations.
Boom. He gets a tree.
Good our winner taking that. That is a gorgeous Christmas tree.
You got a good-looking tree.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Is that a Christmas tree in your pocket, or are you just happy to be here? That guy's happy.
I love giving away stuff.
Yeah, well, we're going to do it a little bit more. Steve Kerr coming up at 4 o'clock today. We're really looking forward to that. So in the NFL right now, if you don't have a pass rush, you are giving away your chance to win. There is a direct correlation between you don't get to the quarterback and you lose a lot of football games. And you can't debate it. Right now, half of the bottom 10 pass rushes in the NFL are the teams that have given up the most points in the NFL. The 49ers are tied for 20th in the league with only 29 sacks on the year. I mean, but really, thank God they played the Raiders that one day or it would be... That number became so skewed. Would they have eight sacks against Derek Carr that day? Without that, I mean, they're looking at 21, which is not a good number. Even though this sack total is not a good number, a number that's worse than being 20th in the NFL in sacks is giving up the fourth most amount of points per game in the NFL. And that's exactly what the 49ers do, giving up 28 points per game. In the NFL today, if you don't have a pass rush, good luck. Good luck to you. Because there is no such thing as a corner who can stay with a wide receiver who knows exactly where they're going and has all the time in the world to get there. You're going to have all the time in the world to get to wherever you need if there's no pass rush on your quarterback. So you cannot leave it to your corners and your safeties to defend the pass. You have to do it with a pass rush. End of story. Corners cannot cover guys with beautiful pockets and all the time in the world. Especially in a modern NFL where there's no fear of going over the middle anymore. You know, just fear was one of the best defenders football ever had. Fear. your own personal desire to survive the afternoon was one of the best things defensive coordinators counted on, to keep you honest, as a wide receiver. You're not going to go across the middle for that catch. You're not just going to be looking backwards for that. You're going to get your clock cleaned. Well, rules in the NFL now have changed so dramatically, guys run over the middle with very little fear at all. You got to have a pass rush. This NFL draft, which if it started today, the 49ers and Raiders would have the number one and two picks respectively in. This is a draft that is littered with defensive linemen, edge rushers, defensive tackles who can still give you an interior pass rush. It is full of line of scrimmage beef. And that's exactly what both the 49ers and the Raiders need. If the Raiders create a need for quarterback, that could gum up this equation right now. I'm very confident in saying that the very first two picks in the NFL draft will be Quinnen Williams from Alabama and Nick Bosa from Ohio State. It is going to go, it's going to go Bosa Williams or Williams Bosa. And I don't think you can go wrong either way. I really don't. Nick Bosa, the DN from Ohio State, if the 49ers right now hold at two wins.
So they would have first dibs, right?
They will have number one. The Niners will have number one if they stick at two wins and nothing changes. They probably won't hesitate to take Nick Bosa based on the fact that he is going to be fully healthy after this draft process, because he shut down his year due to the old risk-reward matrix. He had to have surgery on like an inner core muscle, so somewhere in his abdomen, his stomach. And this is going to be a surgery that he is going to completely rebound from. There's going to be no worse for the wear on
him. So it's not
going to
affect his draft stock.
It's not like a rebuilt knee and you'll never be the same again. Not like that. This is a, we can build you again. It's just going to take a while because it's a core. How do you rest your core? Well, you stop playing football for a few months. And that's exactly what he did. As a junior, he had to leave in a game in September with this, what went on to, you know, require surgery. Before that happened, this guy was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the year before, and he is an absolute animal. What makes Nick Bosa so alluring is his brother was the third pick of the NFL draft and is thriving with the Chargers now that he's healthy and ready to play again. His dad was a number one pick, not number one overall, but a first round pick in the NFL draft as well. Football is in this kid's blood. Beyond being the premier edge rusher of the 2019 draft class, it's just in his DNA. Now, I'm not saying that because your dad played in the league, you'll be a success. That's not totally how it works, but it seems to be a formula that works out more often than not. We're seeing the Warriors have ridiculous success in Steph Curry and Klay Thompson with that formula. Obviously, football's a little bit of a different animal. But if you've got your dad teaching you techniques since you were a zygote, your brother's had you in a three technique since you were 5 years old.
You had a head start.
You have a head start, and it's why this guy's techniques are just, it blew up the Big Ten for over a year. It really did. He was unbelievable. His numbers would be a lot more gaudy if it weren't for the fact that Urban Meyer had so much talent at Ohio State, he would just rotate in fresh bodies, fresh bodies, fresh bodies. So if he went number one overall, the 49ers will have done very, very well with that pick. The other guy, Quinnen Williams, who could go to the Raiders, the D-tackle from Alabama, in a defense that is full of standout players, he stands out the first. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. And there's a part of me that thinks, all right, well, Solomon Thomas was such a swing and a miss. Maybe this is the guy that replaces that quickly. Because not only is he blowing up run plays behind the line of scrimmage with just his physical strength and presence all the time, but this guy, as a D tackle, is an elite inside pass rushing prospect. What you wished you got out of Solomon Thomas, this kid has been doing it, not at Stanford against Pac-12 offensive lines. He's been doing it at Alabama against the SEC. They're saying the words Aaron Donald. Now, I don't know how anyone's going to be Aaron Donald like that. Aaron Donald is unlike the other. I saw a poll today on Twitter. By the way, I forgot my phone in my car.
It's killing you, huh?
And it's just killing. I feel naked. Do I look naked?
A little. Huh. A little.
By the way, when a man asks you if he looks naked, don't ever say a little. Thank you. But honestly, you cannot go wrong with anyone who's billed as the next Aaron Donald. The thing that I was about to say is I saw the Lebatard show this morning asked, do you think all seven of us, was like, it's Dan, it's Stu Gotts, and it's everyone who works on a show. He's like, do you think the seven of us could block Aaron Donald? Like, the poll came back, not even the seven of you would get killed by Aaron Donald. This kid is 6'4", 295 pounds, massive frame, earth mover, can't run against him, sacks your quarterback. I mean, it's just, it's a comedy how ready to go he looks. So, I don't know who goes first, I don't know who goes second, but I think we have found the first two picks in the draft. Other linemen with a chance to go in the top 10. You got Ed Oliver out of Houston. The Farrell kid from Clemson. Zach Allen from Boston College. Josh Allen. And I can't believe I'm saying this about anybody who went to Kentucky. He did himself such a favor by saying for a senior year. You didn't know who Josh Allen was a year ago. This year, he's turned himself into a kid who stuck around, put 20 pounds of muscle on, and is now a top 10 pick. If there were ever an argument to stay in school, kids, this guy just officially made it. We want you to stay right here, kids, because Steve Kerr is coming up hopefully in about 3 minutes. I know that this gentleman who we gave the tree to is looking to give us like bottles of wine and stuff, but we're going to be on the air for like another 20 minutes in a row here. So if you got to go, you can go, because Steve Kerr is coming up next. But thank you so much.
He's dropping off these gorgeous bottles
of
wine.
What an awesome bottle of wine.
Wow, thank you.
We gave the tree away to the right guy. Forget those people from Minnesota. Thank you very,
very
much. Happy holidays to you. That's very, very nice.
That is so nice.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. He is from San Francisco.
Oh, you are from San Francisco? Okay.
That's the kind of guy we're looking for. Chances are you'll be listening on Monday more than the people from Minnesota.
I'd say so as well.
We're looking for repeat customers.
Who, apparently, we give gifts, they bring gifts. That's pretty sweet.
That is fantastic.
I know.
Very,
that's very,
very nice.
Very
really
kind.
Appreciate that. So, Steve Kerr is going to be coming up in a little bit. We will be talking more about the NFL draft as we move here through the football season. The best news that I have for you is after this Sunday, there's only 3 weeks left.
That's it?
Thank God.
You're over it, huh?
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
This football season has sucked. Out loud, every direction, everyone is at fault. Everyone, who's at fault? Is it all John? No, it's the entire organization. Screw them all. They're all guilty. What about all the injuries for the Niners? Yeah, well, the healthy guys kind of suck, too. So, you know what? Everyone's guilty. You cannot get off my radar fast enough.
Playoffs are exciting, though. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, I'll take all the NFL you can give me that has nothing to do with these two suckholes.
Just outside of our market.
Yeah. What do we got, 30 NFL teams? 32 NFL teams? Okay, so just eliminate these two bums and give me the other 30 to watch?
Okay.
I'm in. I seriously don't think I can watch another down of 49ers or Raiders football and not put a shotgun in my mouth.
Well, it's almost over, Damon. It's almost over.
It can't end fast enough. By the way, we have Dante Pettis coming up at 5 o'clock today. I am looking forward to talking to him. He's like, you know, we've had basically the entire NFL season. We get 16 regular season games. You add them both. We get 32 regular season games between the 49ers and the Raiders. And we have approximately 3 bright spots to talk about.
It's been a rough year. It's been a rough year. But maybe, you know, next year will be better. Let's look ahead to what could happen. They could draft well.
It can't get worse. It can't get worse than, hey, congratulations. You two bums have the first two picks in the draft. Does that mean you're special and shiny? No, it actually means the opposite.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe they will get Nick Bosa. Hopefully you're coming to the Bay.
Get Bosa. Get somebody. Get some help.
Calling all good athletes.
You need it. God.
They put out an APB for all good.
Like, seriously, I've never been, my patience has never worn thin with the sport of football in my entire life. I would like to congratulate the Bay Area on doing what I thought was the impossible.
Well, even just the season in general with the offensive explosion, it's just been different this year, across the board.
It ain't your daddy's football.
It's not. So it's an adjustment.
It is. It's just been rough. It's been rough. I mean, you know what's difficult? It's difficult to be like, you know what we could do? We could do an hour on call segments. Is anybody having fun? And we could just get a whole bunch of no's for the rest of the 3 hours of this show. Is anybody having fun this football season? Well, no. Hey, Damon, this is Mike in Livermore, and you're right. No, I'm not having any fun at all. Are you a Raiders fan or a Niners fan? Well, I'm both, Damon, and it really sucks to be me. The one man to give us a little entertainment around here is always Steve Kerr. We love our weekly conversations with the coach, and we're getting to it right after we say hello to our 4 o'clock hour.